tremendously. I feel like I've grown, like, it's night and day compared to last year. I put on some weight, which I planned to do over the off season, just so I can be able to block bigger guys and do things, especially like a gunner too on special teams.
Tyrell Shavers. I was just Googling his college images, like an image search of Tyrell Shavers in college. Why was I doing that?
I did that yesterday, actually. Were they for him at Alabama?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Cuz?
I was just thinking I could find a picture of him, like him, Jerry Judy, Jalen Waddle, and Devonta Smith, like all in a photo. Be like, show me a better receiver core. But
yeah, I like it.
I only found him with Smith, and then him with he was always next to Butch Davis. Is that the coach who's at Tennessee now? I gotta freshen back up on college football.
Jeremy and Joe, good morning. One quick,
why were you looking?
I was looking because I've noticed something on the Bills roster.
What's that?
Well, when you cut down to 53,
yeah,
a lot of numbers become available.
Oh.
13, 14, 15, 16, 19 are all available.
Wow, that's a 13, 14, 15, 16, 19?
Yeah.
So you're thinking Shavers is going to switch to...
What did he wear in college? 14.
14.
He wore 14.
I kind of like him in 80, though.
He's wearing 80. I had somebody write him in 80. Do you think he keeps 80? And there was a report out there, maybe Buffalo Rumblings, maybe it was Trainwreck. Somebody had a... There's a player on the roster that if he makes the 53 is going to change his number. That could be Elijah Moore, who wears number 18.
Yeah, Shavers also wore 14 in Mississippi State, which is where he did. Oh, wait, maybe not. Maybe he switched around. He wore number 9 at Mississippi State. Yeah, it looks like he wore number 9. Yeah,
well, 9's taken.
19's not taken.
19 is not taken. We got some availability in the middle numbers.
But somebody will switch.
Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Howdy. Happy Wednesday. It's 7:07. We'll talk to Sal at 7:30 about the roster. We're keeping tabs on the practice squad. Tease this going to the break. So the Bills, there's a report that they are adding a safety, and we do not know if it's active roster or if it's, just practice squad. But yeah. Aaron Wilson, who covers the Texans and the league, right?
Yeah.
For KPRC, he's reporting that the Bills are signing Sam Franklin, per a league source. And Ryan Talbot of the Shout Pat podcast with Matt Perino and writer for New York Upstate and Syracuse.com, he pointed out last night that Sam Franklin was one of Chris Tabor's favorite weapons on special teams during their time together with the Panthers. So I don't know if that means that Sam Franklin's going to the active roster to be on special teams, but there's a connection there. Chris Tabor in his first season here with the Bills as coach, and he's pulled a guy that he worked with before from Carolina for special teams. So could that be an active roster safety? It's possible.
Good. I not seeing practice squad attached to the original report, I think we don't know, though. He didn't also say active roster. So
nope.
Maybe we get a better sign of that today. And there's also the Levi Wallace thing, which, like, he's
in town?
He said on Instagram, like, so what it exactly was on his story, he posted, it's just a black screen with the little location tab, and it was Buffalo, New York. And then somebody else said that they saw him at the airport, and he said, wow, you guys are watching me, or like something like along those lines. So he basically said he's here.
Yeah.
Is that for practice squad if he signs? Is that for active roster? Is he going to start against Baltimore? And is that impossible that he just shows up and starts?
How was he? He was fine, right? I thought he was fine.
Yeah, he was Dane Jackson.
He was fine.
Right?
He was fine. He, of course, in 13 seconds, was a key figure.
He's the guy. I mean, it's zone coverage, I think, but he's the guy lined up on Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
On the 75-yard touchdown. And is he also not the guy lined up on Travis Kelce?
Yeah.
On the last play that sets up the field goal?
Yes, and whatever. It's 7:09,
yeah,
7:10 a.m. on August 27th.
You don't want to do frame by frame 13 seconds coverage here?
You know what? Let's not.
Not today?
Let's not. No. 803-0550-1888-550-2552.
He's been gone a long time now, by the way. It's been 4 years.
Yeah.
Like, that's his last game as a Bill.
He went to Pittsburgh
for a couple years. It didn't really work out well there. He was in Denver last year. He was more of a depth guy. He didn't play against the Bills. He was inactive in the wild card game. And then he was in Jacksonville for like 2 weeks of training camp. And then injury settlement, and he was off the team. So maybe it would be a lot to say he would walk in and start. But it's more just him and Dane Jackson are kind of put in the same bucket. Just like, feels like a guy that's been here they trust. And like the idea of him walking in over top of a six-round rookie, I don't think is that crazy.
Got an interesting comment in the chat here. We started talking about receivers and Shavers making the team and the group of receivers. You can let us know if you're feeling good about the group or great about the group or, you know, wondering. Chris writes in on the YouTube chat, is six wide receivers considered a lot? If so, do you think they have six because there might be something with Shakir's availability? That's a fair point I had not thought about. Mm. So Shakir has the high ankle sprain. He's not on IR, so he's going to play. He's not going to miss 4 weeks, right? We know that. And availability right. for the opener, maybe. Yes, right? I don't know if there's like a really locked-in timeline for that, but that's a great point. Do they carry an extra right now because they're just waiting on Shakir? Of course, you could practice squat a guy, too, and elevate him if Shakir's not healthy. So
yep.
The numbers game of the roster, it's a good question for Sal. I don't know that it would necessarily affect him to carry an additional one, but we should probably entertain the idea that Shakir might not be 100% by the time the opener's here. Might be really close, might play through something, or, you know, might be good to go.
You'd want to see him start practicing
now,
at the beginning of next week at the latest, right? If he's not 1 week, not even 1 week from today, how about, well, actually, we got to get back into the routine of this. What's the first day they'll practice? It is Wednesdays, isn't it?
Yeah.
So 1 week from today, if I have this right, I think will be their first injury report of the season. Like game week injury report. If he's on that report in 1 week as having not practiced, then I will be thinking he's not playing the opener. But anything before that, even limited work, like I would expect that he'll be ready. Will he be 100%? I don't know. I mean, he played against Baltimore last year and he wasn't 100% in the regular season game. So it could be a reason. Shavers, though, is such a different type of receiver than he is.
Yeah. Well, for sure.
They're about as polar opposite as you could get.
Are we just assuming that Shavers was the last receiver to make it, or was Moore the last receiver to make it?
Well, that's a good thought. It could have been Moore. Because Moore is much closer to what Shakir is.
Mm-hmm.
Little different, little more versatility, I think, outside. Probably not as good as a Yak, not even close to as good as a Yak player. But that could be it. Samuel, too. Right? Samuel and Moore. If something is wrong with Shakir, like those two together, I think, are his replacement. Unless they're going to do the Coleman inside thing, which might be nice to test out, but I don't think they've shown any signs of wanting to do that.
No. And the commitment they make to Samuel, like now that he's on the roster, even though he missed all of training camp, the Bills have done this a couple times where a guy is hurt for all of camp and then is just like got his job. They feel that good about him.
Yeah.
This happened with Terrell Bernard, right? This happened with Cedric Van Pran Granger, who missed all of camp in the preseason. And what is he? Just activated off pup, like, okay, he's good to go. So it must be, I mean, the Bills, I'm sure, have certain players where, you know, it didn't go well for them in August. Don't care. We know this player can be a difference maker for us. Maybe with, you know, Van Pran, that's down the line. Maybe with a guy like it last year, Terrell Bernard, when he kind of bursts onto the scene, like, okay, we just kind of know this is going to be the guy. 3 years ago? How many years ago is that now?
At one point, that was Shakir.
It was.
Shakir caught 10 passes as a rookie and then in his second training camp struggled. Like, I remember daily, weekly, like, he's not having a good camp, and everybody seemed to agree. And was it ever a thought for them? Like, they just liked him. Yeah. Fifth-round pick. They just moved down from a fifth-round pick after 1 year. Eddie Ulofosio, so you can do that. But they felt enough conviction about him where, like, yeah, we don't really care. Like, we trust him enough. Like, we think he's on his way to being a player. And they were paid off for that. I don't know that you'll get paid off that often on a fifth-round pick like that, you know, being a 100 target player eventually. They gave Terrell Bernard a starting job at middle linebacker after basically not practicing and playing an entire preseason. And that worked out for them too. That happening with Samuel though, like what's the equivalent for Samuel on that? Like it really working out for him. Like it would just be him being depth at this point, right? Like him living up to what his contract is. anyone even thinking that's possible?
Yes.
Because living up to his contract is what? He's getting 50 catches in this offense this season.
That is living up to the contract.
And you think he can get 50 catches in this offense this year? Because that, I think, is a lot for me to see him having.
Living up to this contract is, 50 catches and like 4 touchdowns. The contract is, go look at receivers that make $9 million.
But I'm saying 50 catches might be a lot for him.
It might be.
Maybe 20 more than he had last year. You can see him getting 20 more catches than he had last year.
Depends what he plays through. It's one of the things, you learn this lesson sometimes in football as a player. I'm not a player, but I think I'm a Baker Mayfield for this. Baker played through an injury and it cost him. It was
ridiculous.
It cost him. Everyone thought he was kind of toast. Like, I can't play anymore. He had a shoulder injury. Curtis Samuel.
And he had broken ribs, a shoulder injury, and I think a calf injury all at the same time.
And played.
Yeah. And the Browns punished him for it.
Yeah. And with Curtis Samuel, Joe Marino had the stat. And I thought it was really noteworthy. You know how many games Curtis Samuel has missed in the last 3 years? This is a guy who's always hurt, always injured. He was injured all last year, right? Missed a lot of camp because of turf toe.
I would have guessed before you did the air quotes, like 10.
Three? He's missed 3 games the last 3 years. He only missed 3 games for the Bills last year.
Yeah.
3 games last year, 1 game the year before. Now, he's not listed as starting a lot of games, but he got in there and he got 46 targets. If he's healthier than last year, he'll get more work in the offense. Like his game log last year, Curtis Samuels, was a guy that was just a non-factor. It was easy to forget about him existing.
Yeah.
And he's got the hamstring, of course. Like that's a big factor here. Again, we're coming into a season where, he's a little bit behind because of all these injuries. But, if he's a regular part of their offense, he could certainly get more than – here's your number, Joe. Ready? By November 3rd last year, how many targets did Curtis Samuel have? It's the first 8 games of the season, he had 19 targets. He had 12 catches at the halfway mark.
Nothing.
Basically. Absolutely nothing. And then the game in Indy, you start to see it. He gets – here's your number. 12 targets in his first however many games that was. And then the next 2 games, he got 14. And against New England, the last game of the season, he got 8. In the playoffs, he's 3-2-3. Like, he's getting more. Not that 3-2-3 all that much, but he was just more of a factor as the season went along.
Who's he playing over, though? Like, for him to get more work, for him to be on the field more than, a quarter of the snaps, doesn't he have to be displacing Palmer or Shakir?
Yeah, or Kincaid, depending on their formations, what they're going to use, right? Like,
they could start using him. I mean, last year, this was much more of a talking point last year than it was. I don't think we've heard anything about it this year, although part of that's because he hasn't been on the field, is using him all around the format. We're using him in the backfield, right? Although, like, that's kind of the thing. I like him as a player. If he could stay healthy, I'd love the idea of using him in the offense. But don't they have everything that he does? I could use him in the backfield more. But is even him in the backfield giving me more than James Cook and Ty Johnson are in the pass game? Like, you could argue it isn't.
Yeah. Maybe the best case for Curtis Samuel to get more targets is an injury to one of the backs. Right? If all of a sudden Ty Johnson becomes unavailable and Curtis Samuel's in for Ty Johnson in certain spots.
He's a weapon out of the backfield?
Maybe. I mean, Johnson
or Shakir. Like, I think one thing that Samuels is good at is short yardage yak plays. I think he can do more down the field, but that's one of his areas of expertise. And I don't need that. I've got Shakir. I've got everything. I feel like Samuel does. I've got another guy that does that.
Yeah.
There's no specialty of his that I don't have anywhere else.
And the thing that Samuel does not bring to the backfield that Ty Johnson does, like if you see Curtis Samuel in the backfield, you are certainly not expecting him to stay in and pass protect, right?
No.
With Ty Johnson, it's, he could stay in, he could motion out, he could, leak out, he could burn whoever's responsible there. Like with Ty Johnson, there's, I guess, a question as to what will happen, whereas Cook and Samuel, to a greater extent, Samuel, you'd kind of know what he's going to do. 803-0550. Speaking of receivers, the Patriots kept 8.
Did they?
8.
They kept all of those receivers?
Yeah. Now, one difference might be between the Bills have 6, the Patriots have 8. One of those Patriots receivers might be a special teams guy, like a return man. And for the Bills, the return man is at corner.
Yeah.
Now, that's an easy kind of one apart, but they kept eight.
The other thing is, so one of those eight is Jalen Polk, who is on IR, their second-round pick from last year. And when we talked to Evan Lazar on Monday, he said if he wasn't injured, he was on his way to getting cut. Like, and maybe they'll do it at some point during the year. Like, so even though seven is still a lot, like, Polk maybe got saved by getting injured, by hanging around a little bit longer. But I'm still surprised they kept Javon Baker, they kept Kendrick Bourne, they kept Kyle Williams, they were always going to keep, they just drafted him. Boutte, Mac Collins. Yeah, that's a lot.
803-0550.
Maybe that's a sign Diggs doesn't start the year? Although there's been nothing that would indicate that he wouldn't. I mean, he's been practicing without a sleeve on his knee. So I wouldn't guess that it's Diggs related.
Yesterday, we drafted in a snake draft. If you missed it, in the 8 o'clock hour, we drafted former Bills that will become future Bills. And the number one overall pick was Rasul Douglas, who signed.
Yes.
So that means Josh has an open roster spot, and we're going to do some waivers here. Right? Why not?
Waiver claims.
Waiver
Should
claims.
Should we do a fab budget or no? I'm just kidding. Just
reverse waiver order priority. Owen had the last pick, so it's going to go Owen, me, you, Josh. The idea is even though Josh had a player get poached, he shouldn't get rewarded and get the first pick. Mm-hmm. We all get a chance to run waivers, and then Josh is going to pick from who's left. So we have to drop a player if you want. Okay. And
I have a very easy decision to make here. This is a massive advantage
to be going first here.
Yeah, I mean, this is massive. There's a very clear one.
So Owen's team is, again, these are former Bills not on the roster. We are drafting who will return. Owen's team is Harrison Phillips, Jake Kumerow, and
Dean Marlowe. Because you stole Saran Neal from me. That was my real want.
So are you dropping someone?
I'm dropping Kumerow, and I'm adding Levi Wallace.
Okay.
Because Wallace is in town.
Guy's in town.
Also, so, Jake Kumerow is not in the league. So, you know, people wondered about that pick.
Yeah.
All right, so Owen has picked up Levi Wallace and dropped Jake Kumerow. Yeah,
that's a very clear there was a massive advantage when I found out I was going to get to make this first pick today.
Yeah.
By the way, we should make this so the longer it takes for the guy to return. Like, my Harrison Phillips pick is a kind of a long-term pick, I think. We should scale it so that if it's a further away signing, we get a little more cash in the pot. Like, if Phillips comes back 4 years from now, it should be $20 instead of $5. If you can just get a random Venmo four years from now,
hey, what's Harrison Phillips signed.
Yeah. Long shots.
I'm just scrolling through the ESPN entire transaction page to see if any former Bills were cut loose.
There were a few.
There were a couple.
There were a few.
Yeah. Do I want to make a move here? Who are some of the guys that were released?
MVS got cut.
No, he's not coming back.
Naheem Hines got cut.
He's not coming back.
Raheem Blackshear got cut.
He's not coming back.
Quentin Morris got cut.
Now that one. I don't know. I like Zach Davidson after last night's Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
I don't want to move off Zach Davidson. Good.
I think that might be the list of former Bills that I saw.
All right. You know, in that case, I'm gonna hold steady. I've got Gabe Davis.
Dustin Hopkins got cut. Gabe
Davis, Saran Neal, and Kyle Allen. Which, I mean, Saran Neal and Kyle Allen aren't coming this year. Gabe's my only shot, so I'm going to keep it. I'm going to keep my roster as is.
All right. So that's me next?
Yep.
All right, I'll make a change here. I'll cut Zach Moss and I'll add Quentin Morris. Yeah, I can see that.
Okay.
They might like Zach Davidson, but for the last two seasons while Zach Davidson has been here, Quentin Morris has been above him.
Yeah.
So I'll go Quentin Morris.
Leaving Josh to pick up a player. No drop required because Rasul Douglas did sign, 30 minutes after you picked him first overall?
Same segment.
Like 18 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. So he's going to cut his first overall pick one day after drafting him.
So he signs with the Dolphins, and your move is?
I'm going to go with Ryan Bates.
Wow.
Whoa. Ryan Bates. Did he get released?
No, he did not. Okay. But it's a bit of a hedge of my bets there, a little bit of a long-term pick.
Okay. I don't mind it.
Rather than the immediate one, because that didn't work out for me yesterday.
That's right.
Yeah. I tried to go for something that maybe be more immediate. But
Bates is under contract with the Bears and then is a UFA.
Mm-hmm.
I could come back.
And the Bills have a UFA guard, David Edwards, next year.
They could.
All right. Go cheap.
I put Ryan Bates on Josh's team. $5 from each of us to the winner of the next player to sign.
Man, which means we're all going to Venmo Owen in, 4 hours when right. Levi Wallace signs?
On the practice squad?
I'm really looking forward
to it. Or active roster?
I think we determined even practice squad counts.
Yeah, it counts. Yeah. Practice squad counts.
He'll sign to the practice squad. Practice squad, yeah.
Huge.
And they'll elevate him to start week one.
And then we'll go through waivers again because it'll be an open spot. Sal, on the other side, did you think people could have this much fun with practice squad signings of former players?
We find a way.
This is giving me hope that this my greatest dream of all, to have a dynasty league where you just draft coordinators. This is proof it could work.
We've never figured out when the right time to pick, though, is, right?
Now.
Yeah, right now?
Why not right now? Coordinators to get jobs.
All right, let's do it at 9 o'clock.
I'm in.
And maybe we should do it next week. Get our coaching dynasty league. You can't draft any NFL head coaches. You just draft coaches to become head coaches.
Or college head coaches.
Yeah.
You know who'd or, be, or retired
you know
head
who,
coaches.
You know who'd be my on-the-board player who's a diamond in the rough who I'd hang on to forever?
Diamond, Nick Saban.
Davis Webb.
Davis Webb.
Oh, wow.
Davis Webb's going to be an NFL coach.
That
Book
is
it.
A long-term bet.
Get ready
I
for
like it.
All right, Sal on the other side. On the roster, you know what they could still be looking for, track and practice squad, potential moves there. Jeremy and Sneaky Joe here on WGR.